wabarakatuh. This morning we received a very noble and remarkable gesture of goodness and kindness and love from someone who I think lives in Orange County. She or he, there is no name on this. When I arrived in this morning to my office, I saw this on my desk. And with it, this card. And it is addressed to me, and it says, "We are all one America, sending you all much love and light during these trying times. There are many good people here in Orange County who do respect your faith and stand with you and promise to be more vocal now." Whether she's a female or male, she's a human being. She's a true human being, or he's a true human being who sent this to us and expressing their solidarity and their appreciation and their respect to the Muslim community in Orange County. And this is what keeps me hopeful that our future is going to be even better than the past, inshallah. When people respect each other, when people stand with each other, when people stand for the truth and justice, when people stand for the truth and justice, the land is going to be beautiful and the country is going to be safe. So I send my salam to this person, to this individual, the great individual who sent us this beautiful bouquet of flowers expressing their love and their respect for the Muslim community here. Wow, it's too heavy. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. And by the way, speaking about Ziyara, IECOC is organizing a trip to the holy shrines of our imams in Iraq and Iran, inshallah, April 2nd through April 16th. So if you want to get on board, and I'm going to serve you, inshallah, in this trip, so register with us now, because the seats are limited. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. السلام عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ربنا إني أسكنت من ذريتي بواد غير ذي زرع عند بيتك المحرم ربنا ليقيموا الصلاة فاجعل أفئدة من الناس تهوي إليهم وارزقهم من الثمرات لعلهم يشكرون. Enlighten your minds and your hearts and your sessions with a loud salawat for Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Perhaps the most important declaration made by Imam Hussein on his revolution and his stand against tyranny was made in the middle of the night to his brother before he left the city of Medina. His brother Muhammad, not from Fatima al-Zahra, he's from his father Amir al-Mu'mineen, but not from the same mother. When Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam passed away, Amir al-Mu'mineen married a lady by the name of Khawla al-Hanafiyya. And this lady delivered Muhammad. So Muhammad has been known as Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiyya. So he came in the middle of the night when he knew that his master and his leader and his brother Imam Hussein heading to Iraq. He said to him, I'm very skeptical. I'm unhappy. I don't feel good about your trip to Iraq. So please, I ask you as a brother to stay in Medina and don't go there. The answer of Imam Hussein was very short, precise, concise, and meaningful. He said to him, لقد أتاني رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. My grandfather came to my dream and he said to me, شاء الله أن يراك قتيلا. O Hussein, it's the divine decree of God, it's the will of God to see you being murdered. So Muhammad said, if this is the will of God and the divine decree, I don't understand. فَمَا مَعْنَى حَمْلُكَ لِهَؤُلَاءِ النِّسْوَةِ. I don't understand why you are taking your wives and your children and your sisters with you. The answer came again, very conclusive. The answer came, Sha Allah an yarahunna sabaya. It is the divine will, the divine ordinance and decree of God to see those, my family, those women and children being driven as captives, Sabaya. Muhammad had no answer. Imam who's infallible, Imam who's connected with revelation and divine inspiration is telling him that this is the divine ordinance of God, Mashi'a, Al-Mashi'a. So how do we explain that? Why God wants Hussein to be murdered in Karbala? And why God wants the family of Hussein, ranging from 2 years old up to 56 years old, led by Zainab alayhi salam, to be driven from one city into another in the desert of Syria and Iraq? Mashi'a has been divided into two parts. There is one part that is called At-Takwiniyya and the other one is At-Tashri'iyya. At-Takwiniyya is the ontological, the physical, the creational will of God, the creational decree. What does that mean? It means that God, when He created this universe, He decreed, He willed, He desired that this, there would be an earth. And this earth has to have inhabitants. And those inhabitants are called people, human. And they have to be guided to His path through books, scriptures, and through prophets. And then those humans have to go through trials and tribulations. أَفَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Fitna means trials, tribulation, test. God decreed that once I create you, I'm going to put you to test every single day. Every single day. You might receive news, bad news. Sometimes bad news, it's a test. And when it is good news, also a test. Bad news about your son, your house, your business, your health. And sometimes good news. And these news, be it bad or good, they are all fitna, tests, to see how we react to God. Do we lose faith or do we increase our faith in God? Do we go farther away from Him or do we get closer to Him? This is a test that we face every single day. This is al-iradatu al-takwiniya. That there is no life without test. Once you are here in this room, which is called Earth, then you are tested regularly on a daily basis. This is His will, His decree. Why? Because there is nothing for free. No paradise, no reward for free. You have to work for it every day. You don't work for paradise once a week or once a month or once a year. You work to earn paradise every single morning, every single afternoon, every single night. So you can earn it, so you can deserve it, so you can enjoy it there. This is His will. However, there is another type of will, al-iradatu tashri'iyya. Tashri' means spiritual or legal. What does that mean? God wills that we worship Him. God wills that we obey Him. God wills that we lead a life of justice and fairness. We do not abuse. We do not wrong any person. God wills that we have piety. We have fear of God in our hearts. God wills that we work hard. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَتْحًا. You work every day very hard from morning till evening. You go to bed tired, exhausted, so you can make it successfully to the Akhirah. You have to work hard. This is al-iradatu al-tashri'iyya. Now, what is the difference between the first one and the second? Al-iradatu al-takwiniyya, the creational, ontological will or decree of God has been imposed on this earth and the inhabitants of this earth. We have no say in that. We have no choice in that. God created sun and moon. Can you tell God, why did you create the sun? I don't like the sun. You can't. Can you say, God, why do we have a solar system? I don't like the solar system. Can you tell God the earth is too big? Can you shrink it a little bit? Or can you expand it a little bit? He says, sorry. These affairs belong to me. I know what to do. This is my job. This has nothing to do with you. Neither you can tell God, why did you create me? You can't tell Him. Our creation belongs to Him. And He decides. Sometimes we don't understand the purpose of the creation, so we complain. But God says, if you wait for a few minutes and you try to understand why I created you, then you don't complain. When you don't know, you complain. But when you know, you understand and you accept. You accept. It is ignorance that makes us complain. Ignorance. And therefore, the first irada, al-iradatu al-takwiniyya, we have no say about it. And it is mentioned in the Quran in Surah Yasin. You read this regularly. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. This is regarding the creational, al-iradatu al-takwiniyya. That when God decrees to create something or to do something, He gives an order. كُنْ, be. And He becomes, He's created. No one can interfere. However, With the second irada, the second decree, al-irada al-tashri'iyya, we have a choice. God says, I want you to be a good Muslim. You have a choice of accepting that or rejecting that. This is an offer. God gives us an offer. God does not impose that on us. There is no imposition in that. There is no force or coercion in that. God says, I have given you brain. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا أَلَمْ نَجْعَلْ لَهُ عَيْنَيْنِ وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنِ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. So you have a say. You have a choice. But listen, with every choice comes what? Can you help me? With every choice comes responsibility and consequences. And consequences with every choice. So you have to build the consequences. Some people say no. Yeah, it's easy to say no, but there are consequences. It's like a student who does not do his homework. Okay, don't do your homework, but there are consequences. You are not going to pass. You are going to fail. So there is a choice. And therefore Allah gives us several examples in the Quran regarding the spiritual decree, al-iradatu al-tashri'iyya, where we have a choice. I'll take two examples, important examples in the Quran. One in Surah Yunus. Surah Yunus is chapter 10, verse 99. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعَلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. See, وَلَوْ شَاءَ in Arabic means if your God wills, if your God decrees, if He desires, He can make all the population of earth one ummah, one faith, one religion, one sect. But He didn't do that. He didn't do that not because He cannot do that. He's able to do that. He didn't do that because it defeats the purpose. What is the purpose of our creation, my friends? It's to be put to test. Through what? Through intelligence. Through aql. Through choice. You can't have choice if you don't have reason and aql. So if God forces you to follow a certain path, then you don't need intelligence. Do you need intelligence? You have someone who's teaching you every single minute what to do and what not to do. You don't need intelligence because you don't have choice. But God says, I would not do that. It defeats the purpose. I want you, through your own understanding and conviction and will, to come to the mosque. And that person who's now somewhere else, disobeying his Lord, he went or she went there through their own choice, through their own will, not through coercion. So this is one example. The second example in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلْ. This is one of the most important verses in the Quran. Verse 256, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَقْتَتَلَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْهُمُ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. The story of this verse is that God sends messengers and prophets one after the other. So after the death of those prophets and messengers, their followers, they fight among themselves. The followers of Abraham, they were fighting among themselves. Some of them were following his tradition. Some of them chose not to go through his tradition. The followers of Moses did the same. The followers of Jesus did the same. And the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did exactly the same. This is the Holy Quran, my friends. God says, after the departure of every prophet, his followers are going to divide into two groups. And they're going to fight among themselves. So don't be surprised if you see Muslims today fighting among themselves. This is Sunnah, tradition. Why? Because they have different intentions. different convictions, different commitments. Some of them, their commitment is for God. مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَ. Some, they only dream about this life, not the akhirah. Others, they dream only about the akhirah, not this life. And thus you're going to have conflict. And you're going to have fighting. Do you know why Muslims are fighting each other today? So, God says, I can prevent these fightings. And I can force them to be good to each other. But I don't do that. On purpose. Because I want them to reach the truth and reality through their choice. Not through force. Through choice, remember. Through choice, not force. This is al-iradatul tashri'iyyah. The divine decree. Come to death. Death, two irada, two decrees are involved in death. One, al-iradatul takwiniyyah. God says death is coming to you, whether you like it or not. Because it's the completion of your cycle on earth. You cannot graduate from this earth and go to the next one without death. Death is the only channel that takes you to the akhirah. You cannot say, oh God, without the grave, please. Can I bypass the grave? I don't like it. Take me through diversion, another route. Just take me from earth and throw me into paradise. God says, I'm sorry. I would not do this. You have to die. The only access to paradise and hellfire both is death. You have to go through that channel. So this is through his al-iradatul takwiniyya, creational. However, there is another irada, another type of decree involved in death. At-tashri'iyya, the spiritual. What does that mean? It means that God says death has to be natural. You don't kill yourself. Because some people say, since I'm going to die, you know, I'm going to die. So let me kill myself now. Let me commit suicide now. Why should I wait until I'm 90 years old? God says no. Yes, you die, but not through suicide. Not through murder. Neither allow for yourself to be killed, endanger your life, nor kill anyone else. I want your death to be natural. Natural. I decide for you. This is al-irada tashri'i. Another example of irada takwiniya and tashri'iya both. Feeding people, charity, zakat. Allah says in this earth, on this earth, there are many inhabitants. The rich one have to support the poor one. They have to feed them. However, I can feed them. He says, I can feed them. But I don't want to do that myself. I want my people to do that. I know a father, when he wants to give charity, he gives the money to his children and he says, you give the charity. They asked him, but this is your money, why don't you give it yourself? He says, yes, it is my money. I want my children to learn to give charity. This is a training for them, an exercise for them. They don't have money, so I give them the money and I ask them to give, so they learn. They become more. Every time you put a penny in the hand of someone who deserves it, you get higher and higher in your degree, in your level. You get higher to God. So it's a learning process. So God says, I can give them, I can feed them, but I want you. Because this is a growth, spiritual growth for you when you give. This is upliftment for you. This is refinement for you. لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرْ. You are not going to reach righteousness. He did not say through prayers. He did not say through fasting. He said through zakat. حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. Unless you give from the bottom of your heart. You give what you love. You give it to others. This is a training. The hypocrites in Medina, when they were asked to give zakat, they said, why should we give zakat? God has money, he has wealth. Let him himself feed his people. Listen to the Quran in Surah Yasin. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ. When you say to the hypocrites, give what God has given you, bestowed upon you, give it to others. قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنُطْعِمُ مَنْ لَوْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ أَطْعَمَهُ إِنْ أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا فِي ظَلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Why should we give? God, if God wills, he will give. Definitely God wills. Al-irada takwiniya. But there is irada tashri'iya. God says, I will, but through you. You are my agent on earth. I want you to give. The wealth definitely belongs to me. And I want you to feed. But this feeding has to come through you. Because this is how you attain paradise. Through these acts of kindness and goodness. Now we come to this question. Why Imam Hussein said, it's the will of God to see me being murdered. And it is the will of God to see my family being taken captives. The meaning of it, this is irada tashri'iyya. God gave the choice to Imam Hussein. He did not force him to go to fight. He did not impose that on him. God said to him, Hussein, if you want to save my religion, if you want to save the message of your grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to go. You have to give your blood. Nothing is going to shake the foundation of this ummah, which is in the state of coma, other than your blood. Only your blood can awaken the conscience of this ummah through your blood. And not only you, you have to be supplemented by your family. The blood of your baby who is only 6 months old. The blood of your oldest son who is 27 years old. The blood of your brother Abbas who is 33 years old. The brother of your nephew Qasim, who's only 14 years old. And the blood of your companions. So I am giving you this choice. So it was not imposed on Imam Hussein. It was offered to him. Offered to him. Imam Hussein was able to say, no, God, this is too much for me. I can't take it. But Imam Hussein, being the son of Fatima, being the son of Ali, being raised in this family of Ali and Fatima, being cherished by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would never say no to God. That is the difference between Imam Hussein and us. Imam Hussein is offered this, the sacrifice, he immediately said yes. As Ibrahim said, when God said to him, I want you to slaughter your son with your own hand. Ibrahim never said, oh God, please think about it again. He never said that. And the son who was only 12, he didn't turn to his daddy and said, daddy, are you okay? Are you insane? What are you doing with me? He said, ya abati f'al ma tu'mar satajiduni insha'allahu minas sabirin. And Hussein said the same. He said, Ilahi sabran ala qadaik. I am one of the sabirin, those who persevere. And regarding the captivity, also it was offered to Zainab alayhi salam and to her sisters. That listen, Zainab, you're going to be driven from one city into another. You're going to be physically abused. You're going to be deprived from food, from shelter, from a drink for several days. She accepted the offer. They passed the test. Imam Hussein passed the test. Zainab, even one who was only 5 years old, even Ruqayya alayhi salam, she passed the test. Every single member of Hussein's camp, they passed the test. None of them complained. None of them. Read the history of Islam. Read the history of Ashura. See for yourself, did any one of them said, no, this is too much for us, we can't bear this. Hussein, take us back to Medina. None of them. In fact, Hussein stood on the eve of Ashura. He said, oh my family, oh my companions, please leave me. Those people, they are asking for me. I am the only one who is wanted by them. So leave me. All of them unanimously, they said, Hussein, where do we go after you? Do you think we enjoy this life after you? La wallahi la nabqa ba'dak. We are not going to live after you, Hussein. They passed the test. And the Muslim Ummah was tested by this offer. Allah is testing not only Hussein and Zainab and his family, the family of the Imam Hussein. He's testing the Ummah. Who's going to stand with Hussein? And who's going to turn against Hussein? Do you know that the chief judge during that time, the chief in the Supreme Court of Bani Umayyah by the name of Shuraih, Qadi Shuraih, that is the top judge during Bani Umayyah's time, he issued a decree, fatwa, that every person in this kingdom has to bear the weapon and go to fight against Hussein, alayhi salam. Do you know that? That is the chief judge in the Supreme Court. He's asking the Muslim Ummah to murder the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a test. It was a test. And we are being tested, my friends. Not just Imam Hussein. And this test is not only 14 years ago. This test is a daily test. We go through that. Every single morning when you open your eyes, you have a choice between doing good or doing bad. Beginning with your family, with your parents, with your children, with your neighbors, you have the choice. Who was in the camp of Imam Hussein? There were 10 of his sisters. One of them is Zainab. The other was Umm Kulthum. In fact, there were 3 Umm Kulthums. Umm Kulthum al-Sughra, wal-Wusta, wal-Kubra. The daughters of Imam Ali. There was Fatima bint Ali. His sisters were 10. Ruqayya bint Ali, Khadija bint Ali, Umm al-Hasan bint Ali, Umm Hani bint Ali, wa Ramla bint Ali. 10 sisters of Hussein, they were with him on the day of Ashura. He had 5 daughters. Hussein, on the day of Ashura, he had 5 of his daughters. Sukaina, Ruqayya, Fatima al-Kubra, Fatima al-Sughra, and Atika. And you know, when Hussein stood on his camp bidding farewell to them, he mentioned all their names. He never missed anyone. He started by saying, Ya Zainab, Ya Umm Kulthum, Ya Atika, Ya Ruqayya, Ya Rabab. Each and everyone he called them just before he left for the battlefield. Imam Hussein had so much to all of them. He never discriminated among his family members. Over 80 children were in the camp of Imam Hussein. Now, you may ask, okay, Hussein took his family with him. What did he achieve? Tell me about his achievement. I listed 5 points tonight. The results, the repercussions of Hussein taking his family with him to the land of Karbala. 5 points. Point number 1. When the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she delivered him, and the Pharaoh was after every newborn baby, male newborn baby, to murder him. God inspired her. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ Chapter 29, Surah Al-Qasas. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ Nurse your baby, because you are not going to see it. This is for a few days you are not going to see him. وأوحينا إلى أم موسى أن أرضعيه. فإذا خفت عليه, if you fear for his safety, فألقيه في اليم, cast him into the river. ولا تخافي, do not fear, ولا تحزني, nor grieve, إنا رادوه إليك وجاعلوه من المرسلين. We're going to bring him safely back to you and making him one of the messengers and the prophets. Couldn't God say, I'll protect him, keep him in your house, don't put him in a box, don't cast him in the river, keep him there, nobody can see him, he would be invisible. Could he do this or not? I'm asking you. Definitely he could. But God said, no. I want you to take this brave step, courageous one, to cast your son in the yam, in the sea, in the river. Why? Because it's only through difficulties one can succeed in this life. Inna ma'al usri yusran, inna ma'al usri yusra. This is a universal law. God says only through challenges, difficulties, and tragedies you can succeed. The same thing with Imam Hussein. Musa came back, one of the messengers, and he dismantled the throne of Pharaoh. And Zainab went with Imam Hussein, and she was paraded in the cities and the deserts, and she suffered a lot of humiliation and physical abuse, but when she came back, she was able to dismantle the throne of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Only through Asr, captivity. If Zainab had sat in her house with her husband Abdullah ibn Ja'far in Medina, and she sipped tea, and she said, no, I leave Hussein, I can't. She could not dismantle the regime of Yazid ibn Muawiyah. That God said, Zainab is becoming stronger and stronger. When she goes through Kufa and Halab and Sham and all these cities, and now she's about to arrive in Karbala on the 14th. She has to go through this cycle. This cycle is going to empower her. This cycle is going to make her a leader, stronger. The second reason, Imam Hussein, when his eldest son Ali al-Akbar, he went to the battlefield, and he was the first one of his family, his immediate family, to go to the battlefield. He recited this verse in Surah Al-Imran, Inna Allah astafa, God has chosen Ibrahim, Adam wa Ibrahim wa Adam. ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. God has chosen these families above the world. ذرية بعضها من بعض. A progeny, one is from the other. One is from the other. والله سميع عليم. Imam Hussein read this, and this was a message. What does that mean? Imam Hussein, when he sent his son Ali al-Akbar, he was saying that Ali al-Akbar is the extension to the Anbiya and the Prophets. He's not disconnected with them. He continues the path, the message, the struggle, the goal of all the messengers. So he's connected to them. And therefore, Imam Hussein was pursuing the path of all the Anbiya, all the messengers. He was not alien to them. He was part and parcel of this movement, universal movement of Anbiya, prophets, apostles, and messengers. Therefore, an assault on one of them is considered an assault on all the Anbiya. When one of them is murdered, when someone murders one Nabi, one prophet, as if he had murdered all the prophets and all the messengers. Point number three. God has decreed that the prophets and the messengers not only give themselves, but they also have to give their families too. They have to give their children and their grandchildren. They have to sacrifice not only themselves, but their families. Because their families and their households are leaders too. And they have a big responsibility. And therefore, Allah said to Ibrahim, Ibrahim, take your wife and your son, Ismail, who's a little baby. Take him to a desert. Why should I take him to a desert? There is no one there. رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ I'm taking my son and my wife to a land with no vegetation, no inhabitant, nothing there. God said there is a reason. They have to go through this. Ibrahim, if you want to be successful, not only you donate yourself, but you have to donate your son, Ismail, too. Are you with me? Point number four. Why Zainab was taken with Imam Hussein? Because this is a message from Islam. That the role of women is not confined at home only between the walls, the four walls of her house. Women have a bigger role to play. Do not underestimate yourselves, my sisters. Don't say, I'm a housemaker, I'm a housewife, I have no say, I have no role, I have nothing to give. You have everything to give. We greet Hussein by saying you are the son of a great mother, Fatima alayhi salam. So you have everything to give. And today your role is much bigger and more important. I hear that some women at this difficult time after the election are contemplating on throwing away the hijab because they say we live in very dangerous time, dangerous circumstances, and we have some fear and concern. But this is not the solution, my friends. Because if you throw away your hijab today, tomorrow they're going to tell you not to pray. After tomorrow you should not fast. After that you should not call yourself Muslim. Do you accept that?
Never.
We don't accept that. If you are proud of your Islam, you don't do that. You don't give concessions. I remember a story. A boy was taken to the school, first grade. So the teacher, he didn't like to go to school. He hated the school. His father forced him to go. So day one, the teacher was still teaching them the numbers, number one, number two. So he would say after me, number one. He doesn't say number one. All of them, they say one. He doesn't say anything. So the teacher came to him, he said, is it difficult for you to say one? He said, no, it's not difficult. But if I say one, you're going to ask me to say two, three, four, and I don't want to learn. So if you throw your hijab away, tomorrow they're going to tell you, throw your religion away too. Your religion is too bad too. Don't do that. Stand your ground. Be dignified. Maybe Allah, through your hijab, only your hijab, your steadfastness in embracing your hijab is going to take you to paradise. Zainab had a universal role. Zainab came to integrate the path of Imam Hussein, the message of Imam Hussein. And the message of Imam Hussein would have remained incomplete without the sacrifice of Zainab. Zainab is an integral part to Hussein's revolution, my friends. This is point number four and point number five. If you open chapter 3, Surah Al-Imran, there is a very beautiful story, interesting story in this chapter. The story is about the Christians who came all the way from Najran to Medina to dialogue with the Prophet. So they spent 3 days in Medina. speaking about Jesus, the identity of Jesus. And the prophet was telling them, Jesus is the messenger of God. He's very honorable. He's very respected. He's my brother. I call him a brother. ذَلِكَ أَخِي عِيسَى. But he's not God, neither the Son of God. So they refused to listen. And then the prophet said, if you refuse, let's say مُبَاهَلَة. What is مُبَاهَلَة? مُبَاهَلَة, two groups, they go to the desert and they stand before God and they ask God to send his punishment on the party who is lying. فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. The Prophet went, according to all Muslims, with only four people with him. Medina was packed with people, with men and women. The Prophet had other relatives, friends, companions, assistants. He took none of them. He took his daughter Fatima, her two sons Hassan and Hussein. He was carrying Hussein because he was too little. The Prophet did not want him to walk. And he was holding the arm of Hassan. And behind Fatima was her husband, Ali. The cardinal, Christian cardinal, who was standing there and waiting for them to arrive, said to his group that if Muhammad today comes with his companions and if his friends, we will go ahead with the Mubahala, because I know he's not serious. But if he comes with the dearest people to him, then I would abstain, because I know Muhammad is going to be serious. Otherwise, he would not take the risk and endanger the lives of his daughter and his grandchildren. As soon as they emerged, When the Prophet emerged, the cardinal turned to someone next to him. He said, who's this that the Muhammad is carrying? The translator said, those are two of his grandchildren, Hassan and Hussein. He said, who's the lady that we don't see her face? He said, the lady, his daughter, Fatima. Who's the man behind her? He said, the man is his friend and his confidant and his son-in-law, Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Immediately the cardinal said, I am not going to do mubahala. Wallah li anni ara wujuhan law su'ila Allah ta'ala biha an yuziha jabalan min makanihi la azaha. By the Lord, I can see faces right in front of me. If God is asked by them to remove this mountain, God would not hesitate. He would remove the mountain. I'm not going to do mubahala. Hussein took Zainab with him because he had a message. Because people would knew that Hussein is sincere. When he takes his 6 months old, he's sincere in his endeavor. He's sincere in his mission. When he takes his son who's 27 years old, and he knows his son is going to die, this means Hussein is dedicated to this cause. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. But my friends, the journey was not easy. Because when the caravan was leaving the land of Karbala going to Kufa, they said, they took them to the battlefield. They passed by the battlefield, when Zainab alayhi salam, she saw the body of her brother Hussein and she recognized him. She cried, Wa Muhammada salla alayka maliku sama. Wa Muhammada salla alayka maliku sama. Hada al Hussein murammalun biddima muqatta'u al a'za. Your grandson Hussein is entrenched in his blood. His body has been cut into pieces. وَبَنَاتُكَ سَبَايَا وَذُرِّيَّتُكَ مُقَتَّلَا تَسْفِي عَلَيْهَا الصَّبَرَ. And your daughters, Ya Rasulallah, are being taken captives. فأبكت والله كل عدو وصديق. The narrator says, every friend and every foe in that moment started to cry. This is one moment. The other one, when they reached Kufa, the caravan reached Kufa. And you know, with Imam Hussein, there were Ansar, those who helped him. And those Ansar, they had wives and daughters. And they belonged to many tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. So when the news broke, and they know Hussein was murdered, each tribe came, they traveled to Kufa to save the women of their own tribes. So they put the family of Imam Hussein, the Sabaya, in the center of the city, and with them are the wives and the daughters of the Ansar, and each tribe comes and calls on the name of their daughter. The name such and such. Where are you? She comes out. They take her with honor, with respect. They protect her. One after one, the wives of Ansar were taken away. Except one lady. She stood in the middle, looking right and left. She wanted someone to call her name, to protect her, to save her. She did not find anyone. Again, she called on her brother, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein. The third time, when the caravan reached Damascus, and there, when they put in a platter the head of Imam Hussein right before Yazid, and Yazid took the whip and he was striking the lips of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. At that time, Zainab, she stood like a lion, roaring in the middle of that session. أَظَنَنْتَ يَا يَزِيدُ حَيْثْ أَخَذْتَ عَلَيْنَا أَقْطَارَ الْأَرْضِ وَآفَاقَ السَّمَاءِ فَأَصْبَحْنَا نُسَاقُ بَيْنَ يَدَيْكَ كَمَا تُسَاقُ الْأُسَارَى أَنَّ بِنَا عَلَى اللَّهِ هَوَانًا وَبِكَ عَلَيْهِ كَرَامًا. Do you think, O Yazid, that now we are captives before you and you are victorious, that this victory is an honor for you and dishonor for us? Nay, nay, Ya Yazid, nay, hold on, Ya Yazid, do not be taken by your victory. This is not a victory. Listen to what the Quran says. The Quran says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْأَلِيمِ. Let those who disbelieve should not be under this illusion that when they are victorious, because we love them and we support them. No, we are not supporting them. We are only giving them respite. So they become more mired and engrossed in their crimes. So when we punish them, we destroy them completely. But then she said something that breaks the hearts, Ya Mu'mineen. She said, أَمِنَ الْعَدْلِ يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَاءِ أَمِنَ الْعَدْلِ يَبْنَ الطُّلَقَاءِ تَخْدِيرُكَ حَرَائِرَكَ وَإِمَاءَكَ وَسَوْقُكَ بَنَاءَتْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَدْ هَتَكْتَ سُتُورَهُنَّ وَأَبْدَيْتَ وُجُوهَهُنَّ. Is this justice, Ya Yazid, that you keep your family here in the palace protected, and then you parade the wives, the daughters, the children of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You breach their sanctity. You compromise their honor. Is this justice, Ya Yazid? When she, Zainab, was saying this, on the other side, the wife of Yazid, by the name of Hind, Hind ibnatu Abdullah ibn Amr, she was sitting there, listening. One of her maids came to her. She said to her, Your Highness, are you sad? Why you are sad? She said, Yes, I am sad. He said, but why? Your husband is victorious today. She said, because I'm hearing the tone of Ali ibn Abi Talib. She said, but you are mistaken. Did you forget that Ali was killed 20 years ago in Kufa? And now we are in Damascus. Where is Ali? You are mistaken. She said, if not Ali, then someone related to Ali. Go and see who's the speaker. Because I know this, I'm familiar with this tone. I've heard this tone and this voice before. This is not stranger to me. Although they were told that those are non-Muslims. Those Sabaya and the captives are non-Muslims. So please go and see and check. The maid, she went to the men's section. She inquired. One of the guards told her, yes, the speaker's name is Zainab ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. She came back running. She said, yes, I am sorry to tell you. Yes, you are right. This is the tone of Ali ibn Abi Talib because the speaker is his own daughter, Zainab alayhi salam. Hint, she freaked out. She started screaming. She jumped off her place. She burst into men's section. Yazid looked at her and said to her, Hind, aren't you ashamed coming in the middle of men? She said, you have to be ashamed where you kept Zainab alayhi salam in men's section without a protection. بين بين يا هند خان الدهر بين أخونا انشتل وحنا نسبيانا ولا طارش ليصل المدينة يخبر حليب المرعى لينا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون والعاقبة للمتقين. Tomorrow inshallah we begin the Salat at 5, the Arabic session at 5:30, the English session at 7, and the Farsi session at 8, and Sunday we're going to have only Farsi session at 7 inshallah. وصلوا على محمد وآل محمد.